This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. As we celebrate opening day and Cincinnati's baseball heritage, we're going to talk about someone who made baseball history at the University of Cincinnati. Darrell Allen became the University of Cincinnati's first black baseball player in 1966. His nephew collaborated with UC to create a short film called 1966 about Mr. Allen and the lessons he learned from his time on the team. Joining me in this recorded interview to talk about the film is filmmaker Des Allen. Thanks so much for being here, Des.
Hi, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Great to have you here. I want to mention UC is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Public Radio. Des, what kind of relationship did you have with your uncle growing up? Did you get to spend a lot of time with him?
Actually, I did. Every summer vacation since he, after college, took jobs and was out of town, located out of Cincinnati, my father made sure that we were able to visit him and his two sons, my cousins, and spend a lot of time with him.
Oh, that's terrific. When did you learn that he was the first black baseball player on UC's team?
That was probably about 4 years ago. I found a picture at my father's house, picked it up, looked at it. It was a team photo. And I said, and UC baseball players, and I said, well, what is this? And as I turned it over, my father just casually mentioned, oh, yeah, that's your uncle. He was the first black baseball player on UC's baseball team.
Wow. And what made you decide, hey, I need to make a movie about this?
Well, after I found out that fact, I just thought for a minute that I didn't know about it. I didn't know if anyone else in my family knew about it. And I certainly didn't think Cincinnati may know about it and recognize it. So I thought it'd be a good piece to make.
Yeah. What was your uncle's reaction when you approached him and said, hey, I want to make a movie about you?
First, total disbelief. He thought I was joking because, you know, we all joke around in the family, of course. And then secondly, he was putting himself in the limelight. So there was a little reservation behind it, you know, and putting the story out there because that's not why he did this at all, you know, really to be recognized as that. But eventually he, you know, respected the fact that we just wanted to tell his story and make sure it was out there with lessons learned.
Yeah. Your uncle was good at other sports, too. He wasn't just great at baseball. Tell us about his ability in these other sports and then how in the heck he ended up on UC's baseball team.
Yeah. In fact, his older brother, my father, Malcolm, and then the younger brother right behind them, they were both three-letter athletes in high school and then growing up in street sports. So, of course, my father really pushed him, the competitive nature, pushed him to become good in all of those sports and actually, depending on who you talk to, which one you talk to, surpass my father a little bit in the talent. So,
are you going to get in trouble with your dad for saying that on the radio?
Probably so.
Yeah.
That's why I worded it that way.
That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, as my father went to Taft High School, my uncle went to Hughes High School, and they, you know, were combatants there. And then my uncle transitioned to UC right across the street from Hughes and was actually playing on the football team. And
they got a football scholarship, right?
Exactly. So there was an injury that happened. He actually injured his leg. And by the time the leg healed, football season was going to be over. He'd have to wait an entire year to come back with the football team. And at that point, he asked the coach, well, can I go play baseball just to stay active during the summer, during the spring? And the coach said, well, only if you come back and play football will I allow that. So that's how he got to play his second love or third love. I don't know where basketball was in there, and play baseball for UC.
So impressive. I mean, that he was good enough to play on two college teams is pretty amazing. Yes. I know that your uncle died suddenly last year, and I'm so sorry for your loss. I'm sorry for your family's loss.
Thank you.
Because he sounds like such a wonderful man. But you do have his voice in this film. How did that come to be?
Originally, we went down and did a interview with him, which became the live action pieces of the film. And we planned to go back and then actually film him for the other pieces where he told, you know, expanded on some of that. And of course, he died right when we were going into post-production. So UC had done a Black History Month interview with him that February, right a month before he passed. And I was able to get that interview from UC. and actually break that down into what you hear in the film today.
Ah, fascinating. So you talk about the live action part. You have an actor who's dressed in a period UC baseball uniform, and he's kind of telling your uncle's story as he makes his way around the bases, which is such an interesting way to do it. Yes. And so the words he's saying are words your uncle said to you during that interview?
Correct, correct. And Scott was a great actor. He came in. Of course, with his lines ready, the hardest transition he had to make is my uncle actually batted left hand. So he also had to kind of simulate that. And again, talking to his sons, they were saying, you know, okay. But he did, you know, he did do the job. And you see that on film, reflected on film.
Yeah, I'm not a baseball player. I didn't think you looked bad. I thought it was all very convincing to me. So maybe some of the family said you go give each other a hard time.
Well, both his sons were college baseball players as well. So
wow,
yeah, they had something to say about
it. Yeah, I bet. Well, your uncle talked with you about the opportunity to travel with UC's baseball team. I know he talked about that in that interview he did with UC, and the discrimination he experienced.
So we took our Southern trip, and my mom didn't want me to go because she was raised in the South. So she said, girl, why do you have to go on the baseball trip? I said, Mom, I'm playing on the baseball team. It's a college team. What could happen? Coach Sample always he was worried about me. He would say, why can't you just stay in? And I said, well, I want to go out just like the rest of the players. And so he was like a nervous Nelly, because I would go out by myself, but I couldn't go where the other players were going. And then that night we decided to go to someplace, a bar, a restaurant or something. So as we walked in, I was walking in behind so many other players, and the door guy says, hey, you can't come in here. And I said, why? He said, well, because we had your kind in here before and we're just not integrating. So they put me out. And so from that experience, I kind of learned that I was going to have to go out in the evenings by myself, especially as we traveled through the South, like Southern Illinois and Missouri and those kind of teams that we played. I would just go look for the railroad tracks and just go to the other side of the railroad tracks and have a ball.
What did you make of that when you heard that story? And that might have been something you heard from him before and in other contexts. What was your impression of that?
Knowing him the way I do, what I picked up is there's no bitterness in the story. In fact, he considered that as just another obstacle to getting where he wanted to be. He found a way around it. And in fact, whether it was the coach or other team members, he sought allies. Who can help me do this? Who can? And it really taught me that's an important part of the process. Not to be bitter, look for allies, and just view them as obstacles and work through them.
It really was. You don't hear any anger or any of that in his voice. He's just telling the story, and this is what he did to deal with it.
Correct. Correct.
So impressive. We're talking in this recorded interview about 1966, a film that tells the story of Darrell Allen, the first black player on the University of Cincinnati's baseball team. Your uncle also talks about his experience with some Cincinnati sports legends, including Pete Rose.
One of our teams would come out and play the best team, usually like a Western Hills or something, a Mount Healthy. And there was... they had a guy named Pete Rose who was a little older than I am. And Pete Rose used to, whenever we played this team, we would lose to them. We hated it. And when I went to college, I still had a distaste for Pete Rose, and I never wanted to think he was as good as Jimmy Wynn was. But as a more mature man, I have to acknowledge that Pete Rose was one hell of a baseball player.
I love the way there's this guy named Pete Rose, just so kind of nonchalant.
Right.
You know, those kinds of stories are just kind of these really gems in your film. What do you think that says about your uncle? Just he was growing up with these kind of legendary players.
I think it speaks to confidence, you know, that you can have in your ability. Because you hear the laughter, you know, he knows how he's speaking to Pete Rose, how he's regarded, how, you know, what talent he actually had. And they also felt, you know, between my father and himself, when they played these teams, they felt they had a level of talent and could match up, you know, equally. So it's just a spirit of competition. And it speaks to having confidence in yourself and your ability.
Yeah, I love that. Trash talking Pete Rose.
Right, exactly.
Well, he also talked about Oscar Robertson. Tell us about the kind of story he told about Oscar Robertson.
Yeah, actually, Oscar preceded him at UC a little bit. And there's also a story where Oscar may have wanted to expand to another sport like baseball, but because of his situation or whatever, it didn't happen for him. So, again, he kind of trash talks him a little bit, mentioning, you know, well, they let me play baseball, so maybe I was better than Big O in that. But he also tells a story where, you know, Big O would come basketball and play at the boys club, you know, near the campus. And he realized that, yeah, Big O was pretty good at what he did. Pretty good at basketball.
Pretty tough in those pickup games, huh?
And I think that's been substantiated by statistics.
Yeah. I love the fact that your uncle mentions, I think he also says, now I was the fifth leading scorer in Cincinnati.
Right, he's saying I was good. Right.
Big O was a little better.
A little better than I was.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That was great. And the fact that he knew exactly where he ranked in scoring all these years later is fantastic.
Right. And Big O got the statue.
Yeah, that's right. So did your uncle pursue a career in sports after graduating from UC with all that talent he had?
He did play for a kind of minor league football team when he moved to Illinois with his job. But he loved numbers. Today he died. He was doing Sudoku. He was just a numbers guy. He loved to teach it. He was a professor at UCF. Teaching accounting because he was an MBA. And that really was what he loved to do. And so he followed that, became a CPA for Mobil Oil for many years before, like I mentioned, actually going to teach it.
Yeah. Well, and he got his PhD eventually too, didn't he?
Yeah.
Really impressive. Your film talks about your uncle's love for math and numbers. Why did you feel like that was so important to really highlight in this film?
Because, again, it shows the academic side, you know, versus the physical side. Keeping your mind active and also having different goals, you know, that maybe other people don't have. They see you play sports, they want to push you that way. But if that's not your aptitude or that's not what you want to do, then pursue, you know, something else and be successful in that.
Yeah. And he sure was. I wonder if being so good at math contributed to how good he was at sports. You know, you hear about all these sports people who can do all these kind of calculations almost in their head and make decisions on the field based on that.
I definitely think the coordination there is all related.
Yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
Definitely.
What kind of impact do you think your uncle had on college sports?
The impact on college sports. Obviously, you know, there's a legacy that we're talking about today that's left. I don't know that the impact has really been felt, which is why I wanted to produce a short film and get it in front of so many people, because I think it is impactful for students today of all ages, all colors, you know, just to pursue your dreams, conquer the obstacles, and then make sure that you end up where you need to be, even if you need a little help inside the family or outside the family.
Yeah. Well, in that you mentioned inside and outside the family, he really talks about how, of course, he had the love and support of his family, which is, you know, everybody needs that. But he had some really important coaches in his life, too, that guided him. Is that what you're talking about when you make that reference?
Yes. Yeah. Coach Sample was a Cincinnati legend in his own right as well. And he really worked with him on the baseball side. And then also his football coach, of course, worked with him to, you know, even allow some of the things because it was in his power that allowed him to go to the baseball team. So, you need mentors. Everybody needs somebody to bounce ideas off of and to help guide them, possibly even outside of a family.
Yeah, even if one of those mentors is a nervous Nelly about letting you go out on your own. What kind of impact do you think playing baseball for UC had on your uncle? It sounds like he really enjoyed being able to travel, even with the, you know, racist limitations that he had on places he could go. It sounds like that really kind of opened his world a little bit for him.
Right. And I kind of understand that impact as I travel, because what you do is you go, and despite what you may hear in the media or from other people about certain groups of people or certain places, you meet people face to face. And once you talk to them, once you experience things, you see their culture. Nobody can take that away from you. Nobody can tell you anything differently. And you carry that forward and can also teach your children and others to do the same thing and come into situations with a more open mind.
Yeah. And it sounds like he got to continue that travel in his business career, too, working for all these big companies and seeing places.
Correct. He spent several years in with Mobil in Africa, in fact, doing work for them over there.
Yeah. Just amazing, an amazing life. You know, you worked with UC to produce this film. You mentioned that there was this audio interview that was so important to, you know, after your uncle's sudden death. Why was it important for you to have that collaboration with UC to kind of make all this happen?
It was great. First of all, you get to verify the story. They provided all the photos from that time period, statistics. I got to see his entrance notes, the answers to the questions they asked. It just helped.
Like on the entrance exam?
I'm not sure if it was actually to get into UC.
Oh, okay.
Or something they did for the athletic program.
Oh,
but,
gotcha.
It just asked, you know, how he felt about certain things, because it allowed me to see him not just as I knew him growing up, but as he was right then. So they were really great. They provided access to the field, because some of the field shots we needed, obviously. And they continue to, you know, support the effort, the film, and my uncle in other ways.
Oh, that had to make you feel good that support was there and so strong.
Yes, yes.
Your uncle, we've talked about, had this long career in accounting, and he also helped teach future accountants when he was teaching, you know, at the university. How do you think of his legacy as a person, even beyond the mark he made in sports?
Mm-hmm. I know that he loved people. He looked to teach them. He looked to share information with them. You know, of course, I'm a product of that. My brother is, you know, and then also he just really, you know, if he saw people in the community, there was a story where there was a homeless person asking for money, and he wouldn't just give them money. He'd say, well, let me go buy you this. And then he'd sit on the curb with the person to eat, learn about them, talk about them. Visitors were welcome in his home, you know, if they needed to stay. Just really had a love for people and to making sure that they progressed as well.
Yeah. Did you ever get the sense, even before you knew all this about him with UC, when he was just your Uncle Daryl, I don't say just, but when he was solely your Uncle Daryl, did you feel like he was using his skills and his knowledge with math to kind of help people in other ways, like family members with advice or whatever? Those are really valuable skills to have.
Of course, of course. There's situations where family members retired, so he would speak to them on, you know, how to invest, how to financially calculate what you needed. But he was just a helpful person and just a loving person, special in that way.
Yeah. Clearly, he really saw himself as more than his athletic ability, right? How do you think he thought of himself as a person, as a man, as a father, as an uncle, as a son?
Again, just wanted to be helpful and be the best at what he did. All those areas was not self-assuming, wasn't pretentious. I'd never, you know, carried himself that way or wore a lot of jewelry, anything like that that he could afford. But he really just wanted to help people and help his family.
Yeah. And you've talked about this a little bit, but just to make it make sure it's very clear, what's the message you hope people will take away from watching your film and learning more about your uncle and his story?
Just what you can do, which may seem normal at the time, but once it's set in history or it's reflected upon, it may actually be something significant that you contributed, you know, to the world or to history. And then also, you know, again, as we mentioned, he was a teacher. Love to teach people. It still will resonate, this film will resonate, people to watch it, to help, you know, younger children really see that their dreams, their goals, they're attainable. You have to put in some work. You have to get over some obstacles. You may have some setbacks, but they are attainable. And I want them to take that away from this film.
Yeah. Has your family enjoyed the film? Are you getting good reviews from in the family?
Definitely. Yeah, they all have. And I also want to make sure that anyone who views the film, look at the credits, because again, that's Cincinnati at Work. All of those individuals from here, they put in a lot of work on the film and helping it get out.
Well, I have so enjoyed talking with you. I've been talking with filmmaker Des Allen. You can find a link to his film, 1966, on our website, wvxu.org. Thank you so much for your time today, Des.
Thank you. And also invite everyone to find us on social media under Innovative Artists Camp, which is the company name.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical directors are Marshall Verbsky and Ella Rowan. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.